Hi, I'm Dave Emery. This is For the Record, program number 1122. Bio-Psyop Apocalypse Now. And this is being recorded live on March the 19th of 2020. This is going to be a fireside rant about COVID-19. There is a great deal happening, and I'm going to do my best to reflect on some aspects of this. This is the 12th program I have done about the outbreak, starting with 11-11, a numerologist's dream, and I'm going to continue to do my best. Word of, caution, advice, information. These are not the easiest of times. I knew that something along this line or things along this line were going to happen. I am not impressed at all with the way people are reacting. And as far as some of the commenters on the website, I can appreciate that you are stressed out, but some people seem to want to flog a one-dimensional ideological pep horse, so to speak. And what is going on is multidimensional and extremely unpleasant. The collapsing of the equities markets is, of course, going to exacerbate bubbles that many people had observed. And my guess is that there will be certainly many companies, so-called zombie companies, are going to fail. And there may be a systemic crisis. Many observers have opined that the derivatives landscape will collapse, and that will get very interesting indeed, including, by the way, for Deutsche Bank. More about Donald Trump and Deutsche Bank later. I am going to ride fairly hard on comments as far as that goes. Be aware, by the way, that Santa Clara County, where these programs are originating, is under a shelter-in-place edict for the time being. Anyway, radio stations are continuing, albeit under laborious conditions. But I have not got time to play babysitter and kitschy-coo people under their chins if they want to grind ideological axes. Some of them are, and some of the points they make are well taken. But there is a hell of a lot more going on here than masking a stock market collapse. A lot of people are making money on this. They knew this was going to happen, and I've spoken about people like J. Kyle Bass, Tommy Hicks Jr., Renaissance Technologies, and other interests in the past. Suffice it to say that the COVID-19 outbreak does not take place in a vacuum, but rather against, as we will see, the background of, as we have seen and as we will revisit, against the background of a multidimensional full-court press anti-China psyop at the epicenter, not just psyop, but full-court press, by way of underscoring some points and also reminding people, Steve Bannon is at the epicenter of the anti-China effort, networked with J. Kyle Bass, asymmetrically invested to China and Hong Kong. In other words, if they go down, his investments go up. He got rich, J. Kyle Bass did, doing the same thing prior to the 2008 collapse when he bet against the subprime market. The anti-China psyop is multidimensional. If not in this program, in the sidebar on the website and or in our next show or one of the next programs. There is a very good article reprinted from the Gray Zone in Consortium News about the World Uyghur Congress, and we have been bombarded with stories about how terribly China has treated its Muslim Uyghur Turkophone minority, not only of those people funded by MED, a U.S. intel cutout, rather like all of the participants in Hong Kong, but they fought with Chiang Kai-shek's Kuomintang during the Chinese Civil War after World War II. Chiang Kai-shek really fought on both sides in World War II, more perhaps on the Axis than on the Allied side. The situation vis-a-vis Steve Bannon is he is a doctrinaire fascist. One of his primary ideological reference points and influences is Julius Evola, an Italian-born fascist who was originally an adherent of Mussolini, but he felt Mussolini was a bit of a softy, so he effected something of an ideological gain of function maneuver and ultimately graduated to affiliation with the Nazi SS, who were financing his work at the end of World War II. That is who Steve Bannon is, and that is who he uses as a reference point. When, as he was quoted in a New York Times article, he is networking with Muslim activists, read Uyghurs, military hawks, Falun Gong people, and when he says, he speaks of China, saying that they have a different system. They have one system and we have another. I'm paraphrasing slightly. And then he says, one is going to survive and one isn't. That is a declaration of totaler krieg, total war, and Steve Bannon means it. And that is, to an extent, what you are seeing now. There are many things to take into account. We're going to update some of the recent developments. Note for reference purposes, some of the things we have spoken about in recent weeks. One of the things to keep in mind are the gain-of-function experiments. This is where viruses or microorganisms are genetically mutated to make them infect other organisms and in a different way. In particular, maneuvering or genetically altering avian flu viruses to infect ferrets, obviously mammals, not birds, and in turn to become communicable via casual respiratory activity. That is not characteristic of the SARS or MERS viruses. It is, however, characteristic of the COVID-19, which spreads more like flu. There appear to be more than one, there are certainly more than one variety. There is a debate within the scientific community about the meaning of the different mutations and what that indicates about the origin of the virus, and the Chinese, or some Chinese researchers have said that those point to a origin outside of China. Others are saying that's irresponsible and they should take their research down. The game of function experiments, including one done by Ralph Barrich, or Barrich, B-A-R-I-C, at UNC Chapel Hill, in which he took a bat-borne coronavirus for the horseshoe bat and genetically altered it to infect human lung tissue and mice. Those game of function maneuvers, and also the surreal thing. I noted back in 1997 in For the Record 55 that scientists from Fort Detrick and the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases had recovered some of the genetic material from the 1918 influenza virus. By 2005, as we looked at in our last program, that virus had been reconstructed. This is something like a virological or microbiological Jurassic Park. This is rather like, well, in Jurassic Park, DNA from dinosaurs was used to recreate dinosaurs, and eventually, of course, they get loose and they start eating people. The 1918 influenza virus was extinct. That was no longer a living organism, but they recreated it from scratch, which they can now do. I would note that the same Ralph Barrick or Barrich from UNC Chapel Hill has been commissioned to recreate what he was told, or what he believes is the most common variant of the COVID-19. The gain of function maneuvers were viewed with great alarm and critical comment by other professionals in the field. And in fact, in 2014, there was a moratorium on those kinds of experiments because they were deemed too risky. If those things accidentally escaped, then who knew that they said that all sorts of horrible things could result from that. I would note that in 2017, that ban was lifted. And we should also note that as we looked at in, for the record, 1119 and 1120, we're going to touch back on an element of that in a minute, that article is on the front page of the Spitfire List website right now. DARPA, the Pentagon's brain, as one writer termed it, has been actively researching bat-borne coronaviruses for some time, and the research has been in, among other areas, areas adjacent to Russia and China. I will also note there is a networking between elements of DARPA and a virological research institute in Wuhan. In early August of last year, Fort Detrick and the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases was shut down due to multiple safety violations. I think that that needs to be explored there. In fact, the Chinese have brought that up. There was also an allegation on Asahi TV, a major Japanese television network, that two Japanese tourists who had not been to China visited Hawaii and came home infected with the virus. That raises questions. September of 2019 was well before the outbreak in Wuhan. I want to stress that I do not have definitive answers to this, but these are some of the things to be evaluated against the background of what is going on now. And this is multidimensional. Economically, I think this is going to produce a global, certainly it's already producing a global equities crisis. It may very well produce something that will be even worse than the 2008 collapse. We will see if there is systemic failure due to the derivatives market exploding. But whatever happens, when there is an economic crisis, when there is something of this kind, as there was in 2008, one sees an increasing concentration of wealth. The rich get richer, and in this case, I think many of them knew in advance that this was going to happen, and they were able to position themselves appropriately. And particularly with someone like Donald Trump and the Republican Senate, the poorer people are likely to be left out in the cold one way or another. The virus, there appears to be more than one variety. I mentioned about the recreation of the 1918 influenza virus in 2005. One of the more serious variants of the COVID-19 appears to influence the immune system in a manner similar to the 1918 influenza. Has, in fact, some of that DNA been introduced into one of the variants? I do not have the answer, but I think it is a disturbing, quote, coincidence, unquote, that an extinct virus had its genetic material recovered in 1997 by military researchers in this country. 2005, the virus is recreated. 2017, the 2014 moratorium on gain-of-function experiments is lifted. And lo and behold, we have a major pandemic, something that had been forecast by a number of people. By the way, at some point, maybe in our next show, maybe next week, assuming I'm able to do programs next week, some of the predictions by, quote, experts, unquote, I think warrant some scrutiny. People have been saying, yep, this is going to happen, and now here it is. Again, a lot of people are going to be making money, including various pharmaceutical firms. Bear in mind that the director of HHS right now, the Health and Human Services Department, is Alex Azar, who was a lobbyist for Big Pharma. Something we spoke about in 1120 and something that is on the front page of the SpitfireList.com website, from Whitney Webb's article in The Last American Vagabond of January 30th of 2020, bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. We note the following, and as I noted in an excerpting and highlighting of that article, many of the things Ms. Webb talks about in that very well-documented article smack of eugenics and potentially genocide as well. I think when one incorporates so many of the doctors who have worked for Unit 731 in Japan and the German Biological Warfare Research Program, people like Eric Traub, people like Dr. Kurt Blom, a major general in the SS, and the, I believe it was the SS, not the Wehrmacht, but in any event, he was the Deputy Surgeon General of the Third Reich and a Class A war criminal. Both Eric Traub and Kurt Blom reported directly to Heinrich Himmler. When doctors from Dachau concentration camp were put on trial, and the fellow who oversaw that was Leon Jaworski, five of those doctors had already signed contracts to work for the U.S. That, when you do things like that, it has consequences. And again, the looming, well, it really is not in the background, but in the foreground of that terrifying yet very important, very well-documented article by Whitney Webb. Again, bats, gene editing and bioweapons, recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak by Whitney Webb from The Last American Vagabond of January 30th of 2020. Ms. Webb noted that some of the companies that have been selected to manufacture vaccines for the, in fact, the major companies selected to manufacture vaccines, there is a race to do this around the world, but they have links to DARPA. One of those is Moderna Incorporated. The second pharmaceutical company that was selected by CEPI, that is a vaccine consortium, I should say, to develop a vaccine for the new coronavirus is Moderna Incorporated, which will develop a vaccine for the novel coronavirus of concern in collaboration with the U.S. NIH, and which will be funded entirely by CEPI, C-E-P-I. The vaccine in question, as opposed to Inovio's DNA vaccine, will be a messenger RNA or mRNA vaccine. Though different than a DNA vaccine, mRNA vaccines still use genetic material, quote, to direct the body's cells to produce intracellular membrane or secreted proteins, unquote. Moderna's mRNA treatments, including its mRNA vaccines, were largely developed using a $25 million grant from DARPA, and it often touts its strategic alliance with DARPA in press releases. Now, there is an addition to this article that is much more informative that appeared in the Western edition of the New York Times. The article that is, the version of the article that is online is far less informative. It is by Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E, Grady, G-R-A-D-Y. Testing on humans begins for an experimental vaccine from the March 17th, 2020, Western edition of the New York Times. The online version of the article is much less informative. It reads in part, "The first testing in humans of an experimental vaccine for the new coronavirus began on Monday, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases announced. The main goal of this first set of tests is to find out if the potential vaccine is safe. If it is, later study will determine how well it works. The trial was, quote, launched in record speed," unquote, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the Institute's director, said in a statement. "Such rapid development of a potential vaccine was possible because researchers were able to use what they already knew about related coronaviruses that had caused other diseases, outbreaks, SARS and MERS." Skipping down, bear in mind that much of the research used that Moderna used was financed by DARPA. Skipping down. Moderna, that's the same company that Whitney Webb wrote about, uses genetic material, messenger RNA, to make vaccines, and the company has 9 others in various stages of development, including several for viruses that cause respiratory illnesses. But no vaccine made with this technology has yet reached the market. Skipping down. "The trial will enroll 45 healthy adults ages 18 to 55. Each will receive 2 shots 28 days apart. Moderna calls the vaccine mRNA-1273. Skipping down again. "The participants will be followed for a year, but Stéphane Bancel, B-A-N-C-E-L, the chief executive of Moderna, said in an interview that safety data would be available a few weeks after the injections were given. If the vaccine then appears safe, he said, Moderna will ask the Food and Drug Administration for permission to move ahead to the next phase of testing even before the first stage is finished." Again, "If the vaccine then appears safe," he said, "Moderna will ask the Food and Drug Administration for permission to move ahead to the next phase of testing even before the first stage is finished. The second round of testing to measure efficacy as well as to verify safety will include many more participants." Well, there is much to contemplate there. One of the things that Ms. Webb noted was that this type of vaccine has never been used on people before, neither DNA nor mRNA vaccines. The technology has been seen as very promising, very possibly is very promising, but it has not been used before. She expressed the concern, and I think that bears repeating, that alarm over the COVID-19 could lead to a speeding up of this process with possible negative results. Again, I'm not necessarily opposed to that type of vaccine, but it needs to be very carefully vetted, and it does not look, from what we read in that article, much more, by the way, informative than the online version from the New York Times. It does not look as if a great deal of circumspection is going to be involved. Bear in mind, again, there is a lot of money for Big Pharma to make off of this, and that the head of HHS is a former lobbyist for Big Pharma. Note also that when you're playing around with people's nucleic acid, that can be done for experimental purposes as well. Again, in the article by Whitney Webb that is on the front page of the SpitfireList.com website, it is noted that many of the experiments and many of the technologies involved reek of not only eugenics, but possibly genocide as well. Again, an awful lot going on. Speaking of possible vaccines. Donald Trump, in characteristic fashion, and I'm not going to read this, I will have this in the written description. In the midst of all of this, Donald Trump tried to get a German firm to basically ship their research to the U.S. He was going to offer them $1 billion in exchange for exclusive licensing of this in the U.S. The Germans turned him down. That really is vintage Donald Trump. And again, and for the record, 944, I noted his ascent as being the Caligulization of America. He is now invoking war powers to do various things economically and civically. There should be an amendment to the War Powers Act, in my opinion, when Donald Trump, as part of that amendment, should be hung by his scrotum and spun around till he faces true magnetic north. That would be a welcome thing indeed. Noting the economic chaos that is going on, one petulant contributor who does have some intelligent things to offer, but he didn't see how collapsing America's economy would get China. Well, it actually will. One part of China, a major part, if you were going to basically successfully destabilize the second largest economy in the world via GDP, you're going to have to do a lot. And China is very much an export-oriented company. In that regard, an article on the front page of the business section of the New York Times on Friday, March 13th, China's path back to work is cluttered with hurdles, noting the many problems China is going to have, and noting that China is an export-oriented company, or a country, I should say, in many ways. If you are going to successfully destabilize them, you are going to have to a large extent, torpedo the global economy. You can do other things at that same time. Get rid of older people, the most adversely affected by the virus, or at least the milder form, the more virulent form, who knows, perhaps, I say perhaps, containing some nucleic acid from the recreated 1918 flu virus, does affect and can kill younger, healthier people. An op-ed column in the Western edition of the New York Times on Tuesday, March 17th, Zombies Could Kill the Economy, talking about zombie firms, by Rushir, R-U-C-H-I-R, Sharma, S-H-A-R-M-A, for Morgan Stanley Investment Company. Skipping down. On Wall Street, where the S&P fell another 12% on Monday, bulls still point to China for hope that the worst can pass quickly. The first cases were reported there on December 31st, and the rate of growth in new cases peaked on February 13th, just 7 weeks later. After early losses, China's stock market bounced back and the economy seemed to do the same. But the latest data released today on retail sales and fixed investment suggests the Chinese economy is set to contract this quarter. While China is no longer center stage as the virus spreads worldwide, there are renewed fears that the crisis could circle back to its shores by hurting demand for exports. Over the last decade, China's corporate debt swelled fourfold to over $20 trillion, the biggest binge in the world. The International Monetary Fund estimates that one-tenth of this debt is in zombie firms, which rely on government-directed lending to stay alive. In other parts of the world, including the U.S., calls are going for policymakers to offer similar state support to the fragile corporate sector. No matter what policymakers do, the outcome is now up to the coronavirus and how soon its spread starts to slow. The longer the coronavirus continues to spread at its current pace, the more likely it is that zombies begin to die, further depressing the markets and increasing the risk of wider financial contagion. One of the questions is, of course, how widely spread is the virus in the U.S.? We don't really know. As far as the numbers we have seen, the response appears disproportionate and alarmist. The question, of course, is the virus far more widespread in this country than we have been told. I can't give you a definitive statement on that, but again, the fact that of U.S. Army's MRIID and Fort Detrick were shut down in early August of last year, and then restarted to help find a, at least partially restarted to help find a cure or vaccine for the coronavirus. Was that really accidental? It may have been. Or is that a cover for the deliberate spreading of this virus? Because again, if you are going to destroy China, and if you're going to get rid of a lot of people who are deemed useless bread gobblers, like the older folks who don't have a lot of money, and if you want to produce another economic spasm that leads to further economic concentration, and if you can do this with something that insiders can invest asymmetrically to in advance, people like J. Kyle Bass associated with Steve Bannon, well, then you can do a whole lot. Get rid of a lot of people and get rid of smaller firms. Have them gobbled up by bigger firms, further concentrating economic wealth. At some point, I'm going to have to do some of my ruminations on global warming. And it is against the background of something Adolf Hitler said. He said, I'm paraphrasing slightly, those who see in National Socialism only a political movement have missed the point. Again, I'm paraphrasing slightly. It is more. It is much more. It is the will to create man anew. And I would evaluate that Whitney Webb article and some of what is coming. By the way, we're going to turn to Donald Trump in, for the record, 1,109, time flies when you're having fun. We noted that at the end of March, the Supreme Court was going to begin hearing oral arguments about, the appeals to have Deutsche Bank release Donald Trump's financial records. That may be on hold. Slate.com of March 16th of 2020 by Jeremy Stahl, capital S-T-A-H-L. The coronavirus may keep Trump's Deutsche Bank records under wraps forever. On Monday, the Supreme Court took the drastic step of postponing upcoming oral arguments for an indefinite period of time in response to the coronavirus pandemic. In its press release on the decision, the court noted that arguments in 1918 were postponed due to the flu pandemic, and the argument calendar was shortened in 1793 and 1798 due to yellow fever outbreaks. Even if the once-in-a-century postponement is not unprecedented, these particular circumstances may be. Three of the cases that have been postponed in the March 23rd to 25th and March 30th to April 1st sessions revolved around extraordinary assertions of executive power by the Trump administration to keep third-party records of the president's finances from congressional and local investigators. Nobody knows how long such extraordinary measures might be necessary to protect the public from COVID-19, but President Donald Trump said on Monday that experts had advised him that they might be necessary through, quote, July or August, unquote. If the cases that have been bumped get moved into the fall calendar and Trump loses the November election, these cases could then easily be moot. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Speaking of Donald Trump, he has been referring to the virus as the Chinese virus that has aroused, ruffled the feathers of many people, Chinese included. And I noted in our discussion of J. Kyle Bass and some of his tweets that the virus may have been a BW weapon that was deliberately or accidentally released by the Chinese. He said he was not going to erase his tweets or take them down because of what China is asserting about the virus. I had not seen anything then. I had heard allegations from people that sources in China were talking about the outbreak having come from the U.S. I had not seen anything. And for the record, 11:18, we took a look at a global research article that did access some Chinese media allegations. Again, there was a paper put together by a Chinese researcher talking about the different varieties, the quote S variety and the L variety of COVID-19, and concluded that the origin was probably from not from Wuhan. It was introduced from elsewhere, and a Taiwanese researcher opined that it may have come from the U.S. That, I suspect, it had something to do with the statements and tweets by J. Kyle Bass, and also the crackdown on Chinese media by Mike Pompeo's State Department. By the way, Mike Pompeo, currently Secretary of State, formerly head of the CIA, he is a Koch brothers protege, and China is the world leader in green technologies. And the Koch brothers, of course, have been the best, the most prolific financiers of climate denial, climate change denial, something to keep in mind in that regard. The media battle has now been joined from today's Western edition of the New York Times, the day being March 19th. Trump calls it the Chinese virus. Critics say that's racist and provocative, skipping down. At the White House briefing on Tuesday, Mr. Trump told reporters that he was attaching China, unquote, to the name of the virus to combat a disinformation campaign promoted by Beijing officials that the American military was the source of the outbreak. Quote, I didn't appreciate the fact that China was saying that our military gave it to them, unquote, Mr. Trump said. I think saying that our military gave it to them creates a stigma. And then they go on to talk about, skipping down, last week, Zhao Lijian, L-I-J-I-A-N, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesman, shared the conspiracy theory that the U.S. was behind the virus. Quote, it might be U.S. Army who brought the epidemic to Wuhan, he said on Twitter. Be transparent. Make public your data. U.S. owes us an explanation. That was a reference to something I had not heard about prior to this back and forth, which was the Military World Games. That, upon looking it up, that is an athletic competition from athletes within various countries' militaries. And it was indeed held in Wuhan in October of last year. That does not necessarily mean that that is why the outbreak took place. I think there are several things to focus on. That would be one, and not necessarily an agent in the military doing that. One purely hypothetical scenario, but something to consider. We've heard almost nothing about the presence of the virus in our military. Our military is our most ubiquitous and largest individual institution, and yet we've heard almost nothing about it. Both barracks and mess halls, ships at sea, submarines would be very prolific, very conducive environments for the virus to spread, yet we've heard very little about it. I would also note that people in the military in general are young and healthy and in tip-top physical condition, and military athletes, such as those at the Military World Games in Wuhan in October of 2019, would be arguably the most fit of all. If, and again I say if with a capital I and a capital F, a malefactor had vectored some of those military athletes, they might not have shown any symptoms at all because they're young, strong, healthy, and in top physical condition. Or they might have had a slight cold, but they would have been communicating the virus because it spreads like the flu. By the same token, if a malefactor wanted to spread the virus around the world, elements in the military could be vectored without their knowledge or consent. And again, because they are young and strong and healthy and in tip-top physical condition, many of them would be asymptomatic or get mildly ill and yet would spread the virus. Just simply something to keep in mind. I think the Military World Games, perhaps with a malefactor having vectored some of those athletes without their knowledge, and then bear in mind that other athletes in those games might have contracted the virus and spread it to other countries around the world. And again, without knowing that and perhaps being asymptomatic or mildly ill at worst because they are young, strong. I mean, you think about military athletes. They are going to be in terrific physical condition. I think the Shincheonji cult church from South Korea, which have a branch apparently in Wuhan, is another thing to be looked at as a possible vector. It has operational and doctrinal overlap with the Unification Church, and someone from that group could very easily have been used as a vector. Also, the aforementioned link between DARPA-connected institutes and the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases and a virological institute in Wuhan would be yet another possible vector pathway. Again, I do not have an answer, and I put all of these things forward as hypothetical considerations. Again, there's a lot going on, and we're not, I don't think, being told all that we need to be told. However, the media battle has been joined. I would note the following. This is an Asia Times story from Consortium News of March 18th of 2020. China locked in hybrid war with U.S. by Pepe Escobar, a Brazilian journalist writing in the Asia Times, a respected English language Hong Kong daily. Among the myriad, and he talks about he says basically that the Chinese are aware of this as a BW weapon, and that, well, a lot of things are going on. He maintains that there is a drug that has been developed in Cuba that might be quite promising for this. I can't comment critically on that. If, in fact, that is the case, I seriously doubt that we'll ever hear anything about it. But, again, from the Asia Times, reprinted in Consortium News of March 18th of 2020, China locked in hybrid war with the U.S. by Pepe Escobar. That is what one of the basic points I made, is that this is hybrid warfare, and the outbreak takes place in the context of that. Among the myriad earth-shattering geopolitical effects of coronavirus, one is already graphically evident. China has repositioned itself. For the first time since the start of Deng Xiaoping's reforms in 1978, Beijing openly regards the U.S. as a threat, as stated a month ago by Foreign Minister Wang Yi at the Munich Security Conference during the peak of the fight against coronavirus. Beijing is carefully, incrementally shaping the narrative that, from the beginning of the coronavirus attack, the leadership knew it was under a hybrid war attack. The terminology of President Xi Jinping is a major clue. He said on the record that this was war. As a counterattack, a people's war, unquote, had to be launched. It was said, you know, in army against the virus. He may have been using Chinese subtlety, or perhaps our media simply were not quite candid about what has been taking place. I would note that China has retaliated against American media voices, including the New York Times. Their weaponized coverage of the coronavirus outbreak is something I have spoken about in the past. In particular, for the record, programs numbers 1112 and 1113. Continuing. Moreover, President Xi Jinping described the virus as a demon or devil. Xi is a Confucianist. Unlike some other ancient Chinese thinkers, Confucius was loath to discuss supernatural forces and judgment in the afterlife. However, in a Chinese cultural context, devil means white devils, unquote, or foreign devils, unquote. G-U-A-I-L-O in Mandarin, I'm not going to try to pronounce that, G-W-E-I-L-O in Cantonese. This was Xi delivering a powerful statement in code. When Zhao Lijian, a spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry, voiced in an incandescent tweet the possibility that it, quote, might be U.S. Army who brought the epidemic to Wuhan, unquote, the first blast to this effect to come from a top official, Beijing was sending up a trial balloon signaling that the gloves were finally off. Zhao Lijian made a direct connection with the military games in Wuhan in October of 2019, which included a delegation of 300 U.S. military. Again, suppose for the sake of argument a malefactor had deliberately infected elements of that contingent with the milder version or a milder version of the COVID-19, they might not have gotten sick at all or only mildly ill and yet would have spread it and perhaps spread it to the other athletes from other militaries around the world who, again, would be either asymptomatic or mildly ill because they are young, strong, and in tip-top physical condition. Continuing. He, that is to say, Zhao Lijian, a spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry, he directly quoted U.S. Center for Disease Control Director Robert Redfield, who, when asked last week whether some deaths by coronavirus had been discovered posthumously in the U.S., replied that, quote, some cases have actually been diagnosed this way in the U.S. today. Zhao's explosive conclusion is that COVID-19 was already in effect in the U.S. before being identified in Wuhan due to the by now fully documented inability of the U.S. to test and verify differences compared with the flu. Adding all that to the fact that coronavirus genome variations in Iran and Italy were sequenced and it was revealed that they do not belong to the variety that infected Wuhan, Chinese media are now openly asking questions and drawing a connection with the shutting down in August last year of the unsafe military bioweapon lab at Fort Detrick, the military games, and the Wuhan epidemic. Some of these questions had been asked with no response inside the U.S. itself. By the way, again, there are virologists in other places who have taken issue with the conclusions of the Chinese and Iranian and Italian and some German scientists and American scientists. That is a matter of scientific debate, and I don't have quite the confidence in some of the overall authorities that others do. We'll get to that in a future program. Extra questions, continuing with the article, extra questions linger about the OPEC Event 201 in New York on October 18th of 2019, a rehearsal for a worldwide pandemic caused by a deadly virus, which happened to be coronavirus. This magnificent coincidence happened 1 month before the outbreak in Wuhan. Event 201 was sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, the CIA, we didn't get told about that, Bloomberg, Johns Hopkins Foundation, and the UN. The World Military Games opened in Wuhan on the exact same day. One more time, we talked about Event 201 before. I did not know the CIA was involved. Event 201 was sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, or WEF, the CIA, Bloomberg News, Johns Hopkins Foundation, and the UN. The World Military Games opened in Wuhan on the exact same day. Again, had the American military contingent been vectored without their knowledge? Irrespective of its origin, which is still not conclusively established, as much as Trump tweets about the Chinese virus, unquote, COVID-19 poses immensely serious questions about biopolitics, whereas Foucault when we meet him, and bioterror. The working hypothesis of coronavirus as a very powerful but not Armageddon-provoking bioweapon unveils it as a perfect vehicle for widespread social control on a global scale. Just as a fully masked V visited the Wuhan frontline last week was a graphic demonstration to the whole planet that China, with immense sacrifice, is winning the people's war, unquote, against COVID-19. Russia, in a Sun Tzu move on Riyadh, whose end result was a much cheaper barrel of oil, helped for all practical purposes to kickstart the inevitable recovery of the Chinese economy. This is how a strategic partnership works. The chessboard is changing at breakneck speed. Once Beijing identified coronavirus as a bioweapon attack, the people's war was launched with the full force of the state, methodically, on a whatever-it-takes basis. Now we are entering a new stage which will be used by Beijing to substantially recalibrate the interaction with the West and under very different frameworks when it comes to the U.S. and the EU. Soft power is paramount. Beijing sent an Air China flight to Italy carrying 2,300 big boxes full of masks bearing the script, "We are waves from the same tree, from the same sea, excuse me, leaves from the same tree, flowers from the same garden," unquote. China also sent a hefty humanitarian package to Iran, significantly aboard 8 flights from Mehan Air, an airline under illegal, unilateral Trump administration sanctions. That's M-A-H-A-N. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić, the VUCIC, could not have been more explicit, quote, "The only country that can help us is China. By now you all understood that European solidarity does not exist. That was a fairy tale on paper," unquote. Under harsh sanctions and demonized since forever, Cuba is still able to perform some breakthroughs even on biotechnology. The antiviral Heberon, H-E-B-E-R-O-N, or interferon alpha 2B, a therapeutic, not a vaccine, has been used with great success in the treatment of coronavirus. A joint venture in China is producing an inhalable version, and at least 15 nations are already interested in importing the therapeutic. Now compare all of the above with the Trump administration offering $1 billion to poach German scientists working at a biotech firm, CureVac, C-U-R-E-V-A-C, based in Thuringia on an experimental vaccine against COVID-19 to have it as a vaccine, quote, only for the U.S., unquote. Sandro Mazzara, co-author with Brett Nielsen of the seminal "The Politics of Operations Excavating Contemporary Capitalism," unquote, is already trying to conceptualize where we stand now in terms of fighting COVID-19. We are facing a choice between a Malthusian strand inspired by social Darwinism, quote, led by the Johnson-Trump-Bolsonaro axis, unquote, and on the other side, a strand pointing to the requalification of public health as a fundamental tool, unquote, exemplified by China, South Korea, and Italy. There are key lessons to be learned from South Korea, Taiwan, and Singapore. The stark opinion, Mazzara notes, is between a, quote, natural population selection, unquote, with thousands of dead, and defending society, unquote, by employing, quote, variable degrees of authoritarianism and social control, unquote. It's easy to imagine who stands to benefit from this social reengineering, a 21st century remix of Poe's The Mask of the Red Death. Amid so much doom and gloom, count on Italy to offer us a Tupelo-style shades of light. Italy chose the Wuhan option with immensely serious consequences for the already fragile economy. Quarantined Italians remarkably reacted by singing on their balconies, a true act of metaphysical revolt. Skipping down, not even trillions of dollars raining from the sky by an act of divine-fed mercy were able to cure COVID-19. G7 leaders had to resort to a video conference to realize how clueless they are, even as China's fight against coronavirus gave the West a head start of several weeks. Shanghai-based Dr. Zheng Wenhong, one of China's top infectious disease experts, whose analyses have been spot on so far, now says China has emerged from the darkest days in the people's war, unquote, against COVID-19. But he does not think this will be over by summer. Now, extrapolate what he is saying to the Western world. It's not even spring yet, and we already know it takes a virus to mercilessly shatter the goddess of the market. Last Friday, Goldman Sachs told no fewer than 1,500 corporations there was no systemic risk. That was false. New York banking sources told me the truth. Systemic risk became way more severe in 2020 than in 1979, 1987, or 2008 because of the hugely heightened danger that the $1.5 quadrillion derivative market would collapse. That's $1.5 quadrillion derivative market. I don't have that much on hand. As the sources put it, history had never before seen anything like the Fed's intervention by its little understood elimination of commercial bank reserve requirements, unleashing a potential unlimited expansion of credit to prevent a derivative implosion stemming from a total commodity and stock market collapse of all stocks around the world. Those bankers thought it would work, but as we know by now, all the sound and fury signified nothing. The ghost of a derivative implosion, in this case not caused by the previous possibility, the shutting down of the Strait of Hormuz, remains. We are still barely starting to understand the consequences of COVID-19 for the future of neoliberal turbo-capitalism. What's certain is that the whole global economy has been hit by an insidious, literally invisible, circuit breaker. This may be just a coincidence, unquote, or this may be, as some are boldly arguing, part of a possible massive psyop creating the perfect geopolitical and social engineering environment for full-spectrum dominance. Additionally, along the hard slog down the road with immense inbuilt human and economic sacrifice, with or without a reboot of the world system, a more pressing question remains. Will imperial elites still choose to keep waging full-spectrum dominance hybrid war against China? Well, indeed, we will see. This, however, concludes For the Record program number 1122, Biowarfare Psyop Apocalypse, a fireside rant about COVID-19. This is being recorded on March 19th of 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.